Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've been with us, you know we've been working through an 8-part series on a portrait of God I call He is Our Christmas Christ. And yes, we started it back in December. We're wrapping it up today, and I feel like I'm saying goodbye to an old friend whenever we're leaving a series and finishing it up. And so today we'll be looking at this eighth portrait underneath the overarching portrait of God as our Christmas Christ. And we're going to be looking at how He is our providing Christ. You may remember we covered how He is our pre-time Christ, our prophesied Christ, our promised Christ, our present Christ, our preeminent Christ, our partnering Christ, our peace-giving Christ. And today we finish up this Christology, as it were, of how our Christmas Christ is whatever we need. And we're going to continue that theme today as we look at how He is our providing Christ. And here's the surprise. Under this, we're going to have 10 sub-points, 10 more portraits of Christ, just to show you that whatever we need, He is there to provide for us. Wow. So if you have your Bibles or a device and you want to make your way over to John chapter 6, verse 35, we're going to start there and go to John 4, John 14, Ephesians 5, John 10. We'll be all over the place looking at all these additional portraits about how He is our Christmas Christ, who is our providing Christ. And then we'll get 10 more. And as you're making your way there, just a quick reminder that all of these messages, 27 minutes long, are archived on my website at markpg.org. I call it Helping You Hear God. And when you get to markpg.org, just click on the box that says Broadcasts. And then the next page, just click on the box that says Portraits. Very easy. And you'll find the list that you can scroll through to get caught up on those messages that you may have missed, or to listen to them again, or to share them with others. So that's markpg.org, and I hope you'll check it out. Well, as is our custom, as we get started, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Oh, Lord, I love coming into Your presence. I love to sit at Your feet with my brothers and sisters and just do the best I can to share the things You've been teaching me as I walk through the scriptures, Your love letters to us. And this particular topic, how You are our Christmas Christ, has been so full of so many portraits, and we're going to get even more today that just reminds us that whatever we need, You were there to provide for us. Oh, You are our providing Christ. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, since we have a long way to go, let's just jump right in today. Here in John chapter 6, verse 35, we're going to see the first way that the Lord provides for us. And by the way, just a quick reminder. Remember at the burning bush when Moses was being given all those instructions about going back to the elders and the children of Israel who were still in slavery in Egypt, and he was to start becoming their deliverer as from God? But Moses was nervous about it, understandably so. So he said, well, who shall I say sent me? What's your name, basically, is what he's saying. And God answered in an unusual way. He said, I am that I am. What does that mean? Oh, my friends, it means I am whatever you need. Today, we're going to look at how He provides for us when we're hungry, thirsty, lost, deceived, when we feel dead to things, when we feel lonely, when we just seem like we're wandering around, when we feel fearful, oh, when we're grieving, when we're confused. We're going to see how our Christmas Christ, our providing Christ, is there for all of those and much more. So John 6:35 starts us off in our journey today, where it says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. So if you're a note taker, the 10 that are under this number 8, he is our providing Christ, starts with this. He is our bread of life to the country, to the hungry. He's the bread of life to the hungry. And this brings back so many scriptural memories for me. Obviously, the Lord's Supper, where we eat of the flesh and drink of the blood, and we're to eat him, as it were, metaphorically. And he satisfies our spiritual hunger in a deeper way than we can possibly imagine. It also reminds me of the Old Testament foreshadowing we get in Exodus during the wilderness wandering time. When God provided manna in the wilderness, when they were grumbling about not having food and wish they could go back to Egypt, at least they could be fed there, and he provided manna, but it had to be gathered daily. And I love this foreshadowed picture of the provision of the Lord as a bread of life, but you know what? He wants us to eat of him daily, our daily quiet times, in the scriptures, in prayer, in fellowship, and all. That is when he feeds our hungry souls and strengthens us. I hope you're cultivating a good, strong, regular, daily time with the Lord and in his word. His word, in one sense, is our bread, but it points to Christ, who is the bread of life. Isn't that marvelous? I love that. That passage, once again, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. And that idea takes us to John 4:10, when Jesus was talking with a woman at the well. This was in Samaria. It's one of my favorite stories in all of Scripture, how he stops by this well. He's hungry, and a woman comes by, and he asks, will you give me a drink? And she says, how is it that you, this is, by the way, verse 9 in John chapter 4, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman, she asked, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. And by the way, men didn't typically initiate conversation with women either. So this was a double limitation that he was just ignoring, because he is the God who shares, who converses with those who are thirsty. And this is when he gives us this famous discourse on the living water. He says in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God who is saying to you, give me drink, you would ask him and he would give you living water. Of course, she didn't know what that meant, so he expounds on it in verse 13. Everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again, referring to the water at the well. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again, ever. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up within him for eternal life. And of course, he is the living water. He was referring to himself, and it is a water that will always quench us, and it will be an eternal source for us, and the Lord lives within us when we get saved, and so it's constantly there for us to draw upon. Oh, my friend, when you're feeling thirsty, however you want to describe that metaphor in your life, you just are yearning for something more in your life, you're yearning for him more in your life, keep coming, keep abiding, keep drinking. He has so much for you. And in a salvation sense, if you're sharing the gospel with somebody, this is how Jesus presented himself to that lost woman that day, but it's also for the saved who want to go deeper in him. So the Lord, our providing Christ, is our bread of life to the hungry. He's also the living water to the thirsty. But now let's go to John chapter 14, verse 6, one of the most famous statements in all of Scripture that Jesus shared. He was talking with his disciples in the context here who were very worried. He had just told them he's going to go away. And they said, no, don't go away. No, please. And he said to them in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and bring you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then he says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. All right. So we started with our first two of the 10 today, how he's the bread of life to the hungry, living water to the thirsty. We get three more here, how he's the way to whom? Well, to those who are lost, not just lost in the salvation sense, but even after we get saved. Do you ever have those seasons when you're just lost? Lord, I don't know what to do next. I don't know what you want of me. I'm not sure I'm supposed to do in this situation. I just feel lost. He says, I'm the way. Keep coming. Keep listening. He says, I am the truth. Why do we need the truth? Because we get deceived. We're self-deceived. And that is born out of the enemy, the deceiver, deceiving us with all kinds of lies and half-truths using the worldly system and media and stuff. And we can get so deceived. Here's the thing about being deceived. You don't know that you're deceived. To be deceived is to believe that something is true when in reality it is a lie, but you just don't know it. That's why we need a Savior who is the truth. And that's why he uses the Scripture, the written Scripture, the written Word, to point us to him as the Word, the truth, the life. As it says here, it keeps going, I'm the life. Not only do I give you truth, and of course he says elsewhere that the truth shall set you free. He's the truth. We get it through the Scriptures. The Scripture is not an end in and of itself, my friends. It even says of itself, when Jesus was warning him, look, you search the Scriptures because in them you think you have life, but they bear witness of me. They point to me. Just like the Holy Spirit points to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth to the deceived. And he is life to the dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, according to Ephesians chapter 2. And that's because of original sin that we read about in the opening chapters of Genesis when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge and good of evil, and they got the knowledge of God, and they did exactly what God told them not to do, and that original sin get passed on to us. He warned them, if you eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. But we read the account, and they lived for another 900 years or so. What died? It was their spirits, and it has to be made alive when we get saved. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am life to the dead. And by the way, another application of this one, sometimes we think a relationship in our life is dead. You might be struggling in your marriage and thinking, this is just a dead relationship, or to your sons or to your daughters, or maybe things are feeling dead to some relatives or in the neighborhood or at school or at work or wherever. Just, I'm dead to them now. I'm just dead. The Lord is in the resurrection business. Go to him. He is the life, and through him, he's able to resurrect your heart, your mind, your spirit in those situations and bring life through you to others as well. I love this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So, if we're hungry or thirsty or lost or deceived or feeling dead, no worries. Our Christmas Christ, our providing Christ, is the bread of life, the living water, the way, the truth, and the life. But let me ask you, do you ever feel lonely? You ever been in a room and felt like, man, I'm the odd man out. I'm the fifth wheel. I'm just a weird duck. The truth is, we all feel that way from time to time. Even in our marriages, sometimes we can feel very lonely because you're yet to discover the joy of this open honesty and freedom and vulnerability that brings more closeness than you can imagine. It's hard in this world with other people. But when we remember that the Lord, our providing Christ, is our bridegroom, because we're the bride of Christ, and he yearns for an intimate relationship with us, a bonded relationship with us, my friend, that is how he provides for us. First and foremost, when we're feeling lonely, and to the degree we receive that love from him, that kindness from him, that intimacy from him, that which we receive, then we're able to share with others. But if we don't receive it from him, what do we have to give? We are covenant marriage partners with Christ, who is our bridegroom. Let me take you over to Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 31 through 32 are the two verses that give us a climactic summary of an entire section of Scripture that talks about the marital relationship in real life, husbands and wives, and how they're to relate to each other. But he sums it up this way. It's extraordinary. Sometimes we can miss this. There's a double entendre going on in this passage about the marriage, because he says this, verse 31 of Ephesians 5, and then verse 32, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." And this is way more than just physical intimacy. It's intimacy intellectually, emotionally, socially, all the above. But look what he says in verse 32. "This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church." It's a marvelous portrait of God that his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the bridegroom to us, the bride, who can feel so lonely sometimes in this world, but not when we dive deeply into that covenant, marriage-like partnership with our bridegroom, whose name is Jesus. You're not alone, my friends. He is always with us. He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Oh, man, I love that. Wow. Now, he will never forsake us, but we have a problem. We tend to wander, don't we? We tend to wander away. We tend to stray like sheep. Sheep are notorious for wandering away from the flock, and it's dangerous out there, all alone, away from the flock. There are brambles to get caught in, ravines to fall into, mountains to fall over. There are predators like wolves and others there to eat you. Oh, my friend, we're prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, like the old hymn says, prone to leave the one I love. So what do we need in that case? Well, we need a shepherd. Our Christmas Christ, who is our providing Christ, is a shepherd to the wandering. John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15 put it this way. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep." Even when we're wandering, like the prodigal son wandered away and squandered his inheritance on wine and women and song, and in that pigsty, he came to his senses and said, I need to go back, but I'll go back as a servant. I don't deserve full restoration. But when he goes back, his fatherly shepherd is so thrilled to have him come back. He embraces him, throws a party for him, details to be dealt with later. The number one thing is, I love you. Even though you were wondering, the shepherd is there for us to help us keep from wandering. But even when we do, he goes and he draws us back into himself. His shepherd's crook draws us back, and he restores us to where we should be, which is by his side. We're prone to wander, but the shepherd who knows me, and we as a shepherd know his voice, we get to follow him and stay close by his side. By the way, I just love how shepherds in that region, they don't herd sheep like you might think of cattle, you know, cowboys, you know, wrestling up the, driving the cattle, you know, on these cattle drives. No, no, they don't push and yell and crack whips and chase. No, no. The shepherd would just say, okay, it's time to go. And he just starts walking. And those sheep that have heard his soothing voice in the nighttime, they know his voice, that when he calls and he knows that he loves them and nourishes them and cares for them and protects them, they follow him because they want to, not because they have to. He is that kind of shepherd to us. And even when we maybe on one of our honorary days wander off, he'll go get us. He'll go get us. He may even discipline us, but it's for our own good. He's a shepherd to the wandering. Now, do you ever feel fearful? How about that? Oh, man, we're living in a brutal world right now, aren't we? I mean, so many crazy things going on all around us. It is just, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next year financially or in health or in society or in culture and wars and just on and on and on. Well, good news. When we're fearful, he provides for us. How? He is a stronghold to the fearful. Psalm 18:2, something you can write down on a card and keep it as a bookmark, says this: the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. My friend, when you're feeling fearful, go hide in Christ. Fortress up in the fortress, in the stronghold, whose name is Jesus. He can handle it. He said, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You will have tribulation in this world, my friends, but Jesus said, take heart, I have overcome the world. You can take refuge in me. Similarly, sometimes we may not be fearful, but we may be grieving. We grieve not just when people die, but when we experience loss, a loss of a way of life, a loss of your health, a loss financially, a loss of your children who go off to college or move away to work somewhere else. So when we experience loss, we grieve, and we need to grieve our losses just like Jesus did. Not away from the Lord, but in the presence of the Lord. You know why? Because he is our comforter. When you're grieving, my friends, our Christmas Christ, who is our providing Christ, provides comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and following, put it this way: blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. In short, when he comforts us in our afflictions, it's not for us to hoard and keep, it's to share with others. He uses us to bring comfort to others, my friends. Oh, he is our providing Christ, who is our comforter to the grieving. One more we can highlight that we have time for, that he is the counselor to the confused. Hey, do you ever get confused about stuff in this life? Even in the scriptures, some of that stuff is confusing. I do, but I go to him. He is our wonderful counselor. He's there to give us wisdom from above. And so let me take you, as we wind this up, to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And guess what? Bonus points here. We get additional portraits in this passage, though we're just going to highlight the wonderful counselor. But my goodness gracious, as we're looking at how the Lord, our providing Christ, is our bread of life, our living water, our way, our truth, our life, our bridegroom, our shepherd, our stronghold, our comforter, and our counselor. Listen to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called, here we go, Wonderful Counselor. Again, you feel confused? He's a Wonderful Counselor. It goes on to say, Mighty God, there's another portrait. Eternal Father, there's another portrait. He's our Prince of Peace, another portrait. My friends, the Lord is whatever you need, whenever you need it. What he said to Moses at the burning bush, I am who I am. What do you need, son? Come to me. That's why Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. The only way that happens, the only way you can feel that kind of rest in the midst of this chaotic world that we live in, secure in the chaotic world in which we live in, loved in this chaotic world in which we live in, is to keep coming to Jesus, who's there to provide anything we need at any time that we may need it. Wow. He is our Christmas Christ. He is our providing Christ. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, for taking us on this journey through this Christmas season to see that you are everything that we need anytime we need it. And Lord, we want to walk in that and receive it. Thank you, Lord, for that and for being that kind of God and letting us be your humble people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org for more. Oh, until next time, fall in love with Jesus, your portrait throughout the scriptures.